Hey, are you tired of meeting with prospects only to have them put you off again and again, turning them into yet another missed opportunity? Are you tired of trying to do the same things in meetings and not seeing any improvement in the amount of business you're closing? Do you want to stop giving your time away in hopes that a client will buy something or someday transfer their assets? Well, Whiteboard University is our two-hour live workshop where we will teach you how to have engaging meetings with every prospect and client you meet with, how to quantify your advice so prospects are willing and excited to pay you a financial planning fee, and finally, where we teach you how to explain financial strategies in a dynamic, interesting way that will separate you from all the boring advisors who do the same old thing. If you're serious about having better client meetings and closing business faster, visit WhiteboardU.com today and sign up for one of our live workshops in November. Whiteboard University offers a 100% money-back guarantee if we don't help you improve your communication and meeting skills. That's WhiteboardU.com. We'll see you there.
Welcome to the podcast. Sten Morgan here with Andy.
Hello, my friend.
Welcome back to me road trip.
Hey, road trip. It was great. Went to Indiana and back, stopped by Mammoth Cave in Kentucky, and it was great. I realized when you do the same thing five times a day, you can get really good at it. Those tour guides there were like, they had their jokes, they had their timing.
Nice.
At one point, they turn all the lights off, and they pretend like they can't turn them back on, and I'm sure they do that joke every time, but they nailed it, so it was good. I was legitimately scared.
And your kids are older. Mine right now, if I think of road trip, I'm like, that does not sound great. Like, how do I get through that as quickly as possible? Yours are older.
So. Yeah, you're younger, so it'd be hard time. But anyway, two thumbs up for National Parks and Mammoth Cave.
Came on.
So, yeah.
Well, man, I want to unpack today. Meetings sounds simple. I think anyone with a pulse can have a meeting.
Yeah.
But what I've found is that most meetings are below average, do not leave an impression, do not inspire people. And so this is a drum we beat a lot.
Yeah.
Because every advisor needs to have a superpower that when somebody meets with you, you pique their curiosity, you paint a picture in the future that inspires them to take action sooner. And this kind of comes down to communication skills, which we talk a lot about. But today we're just going to dive into how do you practically make your meetings better.
I think about the sort of normalcy or the simplicity of a meeting, like, it's just a meeting. And that's like saying, it's just a chicken sandwich. But then there's Chick-fil-A, right? Mm-hmm. People always talk about Chick-fil-A. But like, my wife has to remind me, like, it's still fast food. But I'm like, I know, but they make me feel special and they're friendly and they say my pleasure and I actually believe them. Like, it's proof that you can take something very simple, but you can do it really, 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 really well. Mm. And so advisors in our community, they don't just have meetings. They have times with clients and with prospects that are very, very memorable. And so they enjoy it more, and then the client or prospect enjoys it more. So we're going to start with the very first part, which I think is interesting because you're a get-to-the-point kind of guy. You're friendly, but you're a get-to-point kind of guy. I think a lot of advisors are on the other side. Where they're chatty, they think that they're going to get the business by being someone's friend, which is part of it. So what's your feeling on small talk? What are some things that you've done to make sure that you have enough, but not too much? How can that help have a better meeting?
I'm thankful that my natural tendency is like, let's get to the point and get some stuff done. Like, that part excites me, but I've had to introduce hey, tell me what's going on. And part of that, I think, is a function of where I live. Like, I grew up on the West Coast, and so it was expected to kind of get to the point.
They're not nice, right? I mean, I'm just kidding.
Let's just say they're more direct. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
But in the South, it's like, hey, I want to get to know you. Can we go to lunch a few times? And so I've had to kind of develop, and maybe this is just a function now of what clients I have. It's like, they're the Southerners that want to get stuff done.
Yeah.
So there's some relationship, but it's not the, let's drag this thing out and date for a few months before I actually pull the trigger.
Right.
So I think for advisors, as you think about your flow, it's tough because step one is just like it's this awareness piece we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Right now, you may think you have good meetings.
Yeah.
But if you are not consistently getting feedback from clients or prospects of like, wow, this just exceeded my expectations.
Great point.
I had a meeting this morning with a client who's a good friend now, and that will happen over time. Get to the point in business, and over time, you can kind of like weave the friend part in.
Mm-hmm.
and he's been a client for 3-4 years now.
Okay.
And he brought in his new kind of controller, this guy he hired to sit there and say, I need you to track all my assets. He has a lot of real estate. He has probably 9 entities. Like it's a complicated situation. And by the end of it, I had a full whiteboard where we kind of laid every one of his businesses out. And then we graded it from a consumption of his time and a potential upside.
Nice.
And the value for him was to look back and be like, wow, there's 3 of those that I probably just need to stop doing.
Hmm.
Like they're okay, but they're not good. They're definitely not even great.
The time to return ratio was out of whack.
Yep. And then we said, okay, on the right side of the board, I said, okay, what are the 5 goals we want to try to accomplish in the next year? Okay, we're going to pay that off. We're going to do this. We're going to save up your emergency fund more. Like, and by the end of the meeting, the person who was sitting with him was probably 24, was like, wow, this was really helpful.
which is code for, this is not what I was expecting from a financial advisor when he said, you have to go sit with me during my financial advisor meeting. And that's what you want to do. Because
that's right.
Thankfully, I think people's expectations of financial advisor meetings is bad. Right?
So low. And I think it's one of those things where maybe if you've never even met with a financial advisor, you're not looking forward to the meeting.
Yeah.
It's like, I have to do this to be a responsible adult. And so what excites me is there's so much opportunity to exceed expectations.
Yeah.
Is that guy said that, and then my client was like, oh yeah, I felt the same way when I came in here the first time.
Yeah.
And well, after that first meeting, and now every time I know when I come in here, we're going to get stuff done.
Love it.
And so great. If you are not getting that kind of feedback live at the end of meetings, you're not doing something that you could be.
Yeah.
So hopefully let's clean slate, evaluate your meetings and try to grade yourself really honestly, 1 to 10. And let's say a 5 is people say yes to having meetings with you, but they're not necessarily giving you a lot of great feedback at the end.
Yeah.
You're accomplishing something, but you're not moving them to take new action.
Yeah.
9 to 10 is you're constantly getting feedback. Wow, this was so helpful. I wasn't expecting this. That should be something you're hearing weekly. And 1 to 2 is like you were having meetings with a yellow pad that people reluctantly come to. Maybe part of your clients, it's really hard to get them to come in for a meeting because they're not really sure what you're going to accomplish.
And
maybe
you don't enjoy your own meetings.
Yeah. Or they think you're going to just sell them something. There are a lot of advisors. I meet with a lot of prospects and the feedback I get, and these are successful clients that had by many standards, a good advisor and you know, a good advisor may just be somebody that lasted long enough. So they have a big enough book and they make good income, but they've just had average meetings for a long time and survived. And now they're successful. Is that those advisors can't even get all their clients to come to meetings when they ask.
Wow.
And the advisor is yellow padding it, asking some generic questions, here's past performance through your accounts, and let's move on to the next person.
Yeah.
I consistently meet with prospects that have those types of advisors that are like, I've never had a meeting like this before.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that you look at some of your clients is if they met with an advisor that was using a whiteboard and dynamically teaching them things, a good chunk of your book could be susceptible to that,
mm-hmm.
that maybe you're relying too much on a relationship to keep your clients, that we all need to level up our meeting experience. It's a great retention tool because every one of your current clients should get this better experience, but you should also start giving it to every prospect.
Yeah. Are you okay to move on to the next one?
Sure.
So one of the things that you often get asked at our Higher Charge Live events is about your agenda and then also about how much information you ask clients to bring to meetings, which goes to our third point, which we'll save for the end. But when it comes to an agenda, let's assume that you're meeting with them. Let's do first time and then do current client. What's the difference between those two agendas? Do you always have an agenda?
So we have a template agenda that at the very least is printed and ready for me. I have found, and this is tough during surge at times too, and that's why we have to prep like a month ahead of surge to where my pair planner, we maybe do 10 to 15 files at a time where we sit down and I just put some context in there. So when he's preparing the notes, it's more prepared. And then I'm able to talk to him and say, hey, with this particular client, like the meeting I had this morning, I need updated financials through the end of last month for every one of his entities.
Oh, wow.
I'm always, the meeting is always so much more dynamic when I have more context, ask more specific questions to get a more specific goal or set a goal or get some outcome for them. So if you are not going into a meeting very well prepared with specific questions, driving towards specific goals, reviewing the notes of your last meeting, just 30 minutes of prep time will double the quality of your meetings.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
In addition to, and we teach a lot on this, when it comes to idea partners, learning to whiteboard things, when I have researched strategies ahead of time and I know, wow, there's 15 clients I'm about to meet with that this somewhat applies to, it wasn't necessarily preparation for that one client, but it was me just being a student of the game and saying, wow, I'm going to bring something new to these business owners or these pre-retirees. 30 minutes will be a game changer. So from this day forward, I want to challenge you, never go to a meeting saying, hey, how can I help you? What do we want to accomplish today?
Yeah.
It comes across semi-unprepared. And the person may not know enough. They may think that's how the meeting should go. But we talk to, you know, I have a client that does coaching, like culture coaching. And the worst thing he could do is get an engagement, you know, for $5,000 to $10,000, whatever it is. And he shows up and say, hey, how's everybody doing? And everybody's like, well, no, that's your job.
Yeah, you're supposed to tell us how we're doing.
Yeah. Well, what questions do you have? I don't even know what question to ask right now.
Right.
But he comes in saying, hey, we're going to do these activities together. I'm going to teach you about how humans' minds think and why they need to interact better. And all of a sudden you've kind of just, and this is that book Getting Naked, where it's like, start coaching and teaching.
Yeah.
Like, give them an experience. And the good news is each client doesn't know what you did for the last client.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, you can get repetition and you can get really good at it.
Yeah.
And each person only cares on how it helps them. So preparation is key, but also what are you doing in your day to day that's just making you a better advisor so that you're better equipped to coach and teach in that moment?
Yeah, I think about, you know, when I come in your office, you always have a different book on your desk, right? You know, and whether it's, you know, reading or it's listening to books, you know, there is a way that you can constantly, you know, those who are really at the top of their craft, they are always learning. I mean, as I mentioned on the show before, I umpire, and every great umpire I know is constantly talking about their craft, like what are the little tiny things. And what you think, like, you would think you kind of know everything you need to know, but there's just weird situations that happen. And the same thing in business. It's like, you know, the way you can separate yourself is just think about the small things and then dial it in and become elite at it, right? There's just, your competition is average to below average, and that's good news, right?
Yeah.
So as you think about with the agenda, you want to get as much information as you can. I think there's just such a tremendous gift to a client when you say, hey, here's my perspective on this. You might have your people who work at your company. But I think about that very first story from Getting Naked, where this guy goes to meet with his client, and there's like artwork all around the room for there's like advertising. And this consultant walks in, and like all the staff was like, oh yeah, it's good, it's good, it's good. And the consultant's like, these are all bad.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? He goes, yeah, these are all bad. Like, you're not using any of these, are you? And he's like, oh, my people told me they were okay. He's like, yeah, your people are lying to you because they don't want to tell you the truth. Like, people, if you really care about someone, you tell them the truth, even the ugly truth. And so I think it's such a tremendous value. Just take the time to get that information. You do a good job of having your staff prepare as much as you can. But people want to be told what to do, not in a domineering, you know, you're dumb sort of way, but people want to be told, hey, let's look at your time. Let's look at your output from that time, like this morning, and let's make some harder decisions here. And that's a gift to people.
Yeah. You don't want to tell somebody their business is ugly or a past decision they made is not good.
Yeah.
But if you can create a framework, and I have a lot of these now, like that I have one where I draw a P for personal and a B for business, and I put a T chart.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what's falling under what? And what I'm able to teach them in that is, I'm not saying, man, you have run such an unorganized business. But by saying, wow, it really feels like there's a lot of overlap here, that it feels like personal is borrowing from business. Do you agree that in a perfect world, like as soon as you take money off of the business balance sheet and it grows your personal net worth, it should stay over there? Like that's the reason the business exists. Well, yeah, that would be great. Okay, then somehow we have to figure out a framework where the money's not just going back and forth. And I use my finger on the whiteboard and I just blur the line.
Yeah,
I'm like, it feels like we've kind of just, this. It's not very a firm line. We've created two things that are almost one. And the lesson there is we don't have a lot of organization here. Like we need to dial this thing in.
Yeah.
And so as an advisor, you need to come up with these tools or frameworks. And it's the one where I list out every company they have. Some clients it's 3, some it's 10, some it's 15. You probably, you're listening right now, you're like, oh, I have the one client that just has like so many LLCs that it's hard to keep up with. And they're always adding and getting rid of them. With that client, every time you can start the meeting by writing those out and going through the activity of saying like, what's the upside here? Instead of telling them their business is ugly, you're going to have them realize like, wow, I'm spending a lot of time on that. And you could use a 1 to 10 scale. You can use an A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever it is, and say, let's grade this.
Mm.
And this morning, that client pretty much said, 3 of my businesses are not good. I need to accelerate getting out of those, because even in the best outcome, it's a C as far as a result compared to these other companies. And it's like a B or a C on time. It's taking too much time.
Yeah.
And so figure out as an advisor, when you go into meetings, and this is part of an agenda or preparation, is here are the concepts I teach business owners. And what I do is I also have a book that aligns with each one of them. And it's really cool when you're in a meeting, and I always have somebody in my meeting with me, and I can say, hey, Nate, go grab a copy of Rocket Fuel, Who Not How, Essentialism. These just core books, not right. Nice. You know, these things that you run across a lot with clients, and you gift them that before they leave to say, hey, we touched on this concept, but like, if you want to dive deeper into it, chapter 3 is really great. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah.
That feels so fluid and natural, but it all comes down to preparation. And the agenda to me is the baseline of, you thought about this ahead of time. And I always, when possible, have a balance sheet, even if it's not fully completed because they haven't shared all the data with me. It shows, wow, we have a framework today, and this might be the first time I've seen all my assets on one page.
Yeah. Last one I want to talk about, and I had this idea as we were preparing for this and also working a lot with Whiteboard University recently, is that you should be even more comfortable at the whiteboard than in your seat. The idea that, because most people are not very comfortable when they have to sort of get into teacher mode. Mm-hmm. But I find it with you, with, I think about certain players on teams, and they want the ball. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, then when my son plays, he's like, I want to pitch. He wants to be in charge. He wants to have, you know, the fate in his own hands versus relying on someone else. And I think when advisors can feel comfortable at the whiteboard, whether it be virtual or in person, that's a very dynamic, enjoyable meeting. So when you think about whiteboarding, for those who are listening, on a really practical level, what are some benchmarks you can give people so they make sure that they have a great meeting experience?
I think it's a little tough because we are fully in the camp of whiteboard now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would be very difficult for somebody to talk me out of, like, that should be part of every meeting. But I'm trying to think of, if an advisor doesn't currently whiteboard, I'm trying to go back in time in my mind. Like, what is there any other way to take the posture of energized coach/teacher? I mean, are you using a yellow pad in front of them? Are you pushing illustrations across and kind of circling it?
Well, I mean,
the advisors we work with, and you run Whiteboard U, like, are you seeing something that doesn't include a whiteboard that accomplishes the same things?
I mean, it's funny because at our recent training, our Have Charge Live, we for part of the training, people use these small whiteboards. They're like 8.5 by 11 little handheld ones, you know, and they're like, I can take these to my next meeting. We're like, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea just that, the answer to that is no. I think that you, when you communicate things visually, it just lands in a different way. And so even with a prepared illustration, those are important. I think they have a role. You certainly want to be, you know, in line with compliance, but I just think that the visual matters. I think people seeing their own story, you know, the gift you gave that client this morning is that he saw his story mm-hmm. on a whiteboard. It wasn't just, you know, he is maybe, other than the other meetings with you, never seen, even with the CPA, is not, it's all on a spreadsheet. It's like, to see it in front of them is really, really powerful. So that's the biggest takeaway that we've seen from How to Charge Alive, other than people understanding. I'd say two things. One is they understand their value. Well, my ideas have value. Like, that's what I can sell a plan for $8,000 because that's how much value I bring to a client. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. And then just the excitement of, like, I want to communicate differently. Like, just talking, not working for me. And it's so much more enjoyable for them and for the client. So I would say that if you're not doing it and you're still having success, imagine if you were doing it as well. I mean, it is such a game changer.
Yeah.
And I think the funnest thing about whiteboarding is how much more enjoyable it is for the advisor. We talk about, you know, help the client sell more, you know, help understand. But I just find that advisors just have more enjoyable meetings for themselves.
Yeah. I think the advisors we coach and the ones I talk to at all conferences, no one would disagree that you want to take the posture of like a coach and a teacher
mm-hmm.
and be the authority in the room. And that we might set the internet on fire right now.
Do it.
What I'm going to say is, if you're an advisor right now and you are not using a whiteboard to some degree, whether virtually or in person, you are falling way short.
Yeah.
And you may say, hey, Stan, I make enough money. Well, good chance you've just been in the business long enough. we have advisors that we coach that are in their 20s that are closing more business faster and building a better reputation as an advisor than many 40, 50 year old advisors I know.
Yeah.
Because the 40, 50 year old advisors have sold enough stuff for a long enough period of time to be successful. I am not meeting young, dynamic advisors that are bending the success curve in their favor that are doing it the way that most of us were taught. So right now, if you are not using a whiteboard in your meetings and you are white padding or illustrating it, you are not doing it right. And if that triggers you, great. Sit in that, because I was that advisor before. And when I shifted, I will never go back. And so if anything, be more prepared, get to the point faster. I think those are good practical things. But if you can whiteboard starting tomorrow, and we have all recorded whiteboarding videos. I have the ones I send to clients, all compliance approved. Like this is not a new thing. But if it's new to you and it freaks you out, lean into it, because it will be the thing that changes. You'll close faster, but your reputation with prospects and clients will be different overnight.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stan.
Bye, brother.